with Zeolite today.
The governor of South Carolina is facing 37 ethics charges. That makes him a candidate for bad boy here on America Tonight. You know, I hate to kick a man when he's down, but this was inevitable that they were going to go after him. We've got the skinny on that. Not only that, but how about these new charges in the Somalia terror case closer to home, of course, with the ties to Minneapolis, where our Plush Network is located, right there in the belly of the beast. Prosecutors charge eight in the case, saying that they went to training camps and provided financial help along the way. And we have some more sorted things on that, too. But we start with this. And hello, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, of course. That's where you are. Get locked and loaded for a big hour, including a conversation in another 15 minutes with a pilot who flew a plane drunk, paid the price, did the time, and now he's writing a book about those experiences. With everything that we've seen from the airlines, this will be interesting to chat with Mr. Balzer. That's coming up in a few. But first, I knew it was inevitable this would happen. Major Hassan, what is his lawyer telling him to do? Sure, plead insanity. So the psychiatrist, I know, tell me, people, the psychiatrist who gunned down, let's face it, 13 people during that attack at Fort Hood is most likely going to do that. He's going to most likely plead not guilty to the charges against him, and he might use the insanity defense at his military trial. The attorney for Major Hassan, John Galligan, said he's considering that heavily, among other options, but it's too early to determine what the defense strategy will be. But based on the evidence, they're talking about his mental status, and there is a real possibility of this. Let's put it this way. Galligan told him to do this. He's his attorney. This is the strategy I would think that he would pursue, right? If Hassan jumps on it, that's exactly what they're going to do. You know, it's just so heartbreaking. It's been, weeks now? That happened November 5th, and here we are, getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving, and you think of all the people who can't celebrate. In fact, today, another one of the 13 was buried at the Arlington National Cemetery, leaving behind two daughters, a female colonel, leaving behind two daughters and a slew of grandchildren. And I can't say enough about the poor people, the families who were touched by this horrible thing. So 13 counts of premeditated murder, and might go the insanity route. Think of the people who were wounded in that shooting spree, who had lots of bullets pumped into them, and luckily, got out with their lives, right? And all they were doing, they're going to a building to get everything ready. You know what they do in that building, that deployment center? You know what you do when you go to the deployment center? You finalize your will, because you might get killed when you're serving our country in Afghanistan or Iraq. Ooh, or maybe at Fort Hood, because who was thinking that would happen? They go through the medical process, and they finalize the wills. Ooh. So right now, by the way, the major is still in intensive care. I checked today in San Antonio at the military hospital. That's where they took him when he was shot during the attack. As many of you know, he's paralyzed from the waist down. He had a hearing in his hospital room over the weekend, and he was ordered to, of course, this is the normal thing that would happen, stay in custody until the trial. And his attorney is saying he's frustrated because the prosecutors are taking too long to respond to his questions and to his requests. So boo-hoo. I hope that this investigation changes the way some things happen on bases across the United States. Fort Hood's such a big installation, and I can't say it enough, and I feel like a parrot repeating myself, but your heart just really goes out to those families. You know, what do they have this Thanksgiving? They have somebody that they just buried, and I'm sure just their hearts are just overwhelmed with what they went through. All right, in the meantime, we're going to zig and zag in a few different directions. We will dip back into that, of course. Healthcare, and more healthcare. That is the raging debate. We'll get some more opinions on that, but there's no question the split is very big for Democrats over a health reform. Some people are confused. Even though there was 60 votes to go ahead and debate, don't confuse that with a yes, yes, and here we go, because it's far from over. There's a big problem, and the problem is public option. There are at least a couple of those 60 votes where they say they will not, a couple senators that say they will not vote yes if there is a public option. And then there's three or four who say you don't have a public option, we're not going to vote for it either. So if I add this up right, my arithmetic, you got no Republicans. That means every single Democrat has to jump in line, and I don't think it's going to happen. You know, you'll have these weeks of debate after coming back from Thanksgiving. But the way it's going, this weekend deal was the last hurrah, I think, in the Senate, because you're not going to get that majority of 60. There are just too many centrist Democrats who are not happy with the bill in its current condition. And like I mentioned, the public option is one of them. So will they acquiesce and vote yes? I'm going to say no. I mean, even Senator Mary Landrieu was offered at least, they say, $100 million in extra federal bucks for her state, something she wanted. You know, it's been dubbed the Louisiana Purchase. And see, these are the things when you look at the face of health care reform and you dig into the 2,000 pages, these are the things that you start to uncover, right? But I think there's still, you know, there's the senator from Arkansas, Blanche Lincoln. I seriously doubt that she's going to say yes for it. There's Ben Nelson, who I don't think is going to go for it either based on some of the things that are currently in the bill. And if you were to try to please all these centrist Democrats, the current form of the bill would collapse, and I don't see it happening. So if you're sitting there panicking over some of the headlines you're reading about how fabulous Saturday was, keep in mind that was one hurdle just to debate, and you had a few that were necessary in that voting process who made it clear that they would not vote if it stayed in the form that it is now, and I'm pretty sure it's going to stay in the current form. So we'll dive a little bit deeper into that one as well. And how about this? You know, this is the big thing for me here on America Tonight. The president has now had 9 meetings, count them, squished in meetings, on this Afghan war strategy, reviewing it another time, trying to figure out what the sell is going to be. Supposedly, what I heard today is there is a great chance, all of a sudden, this was from a Pentagon source, that there could be decision released on Wednesday, that Obama's pretty close to announcing what he's decided to do. Remember, just to refresh you, General McChrystal, the eyes and the ears, the guy on the ground that everybody's trusted with what's going on in Afghanistan, he has said 40,000 is the number at least that he needs. But Obama, from what I hear, is trying to settle on something less than that. And the figure, the original figure I heard was 20,000. Now I heard today it might be up to just a little bit over 30,000. So they're rethinking the options. They're talking about an exit strategy. That might be rolled into this announcement. And there's a good chance you're going to hear that announcement on Wednesday or Thursday on Thanksgiving Day. Coming up next, flying drunk with passengers in tow. Stay with us here on America Tonight.
A question for you. Do you know what is in the air you're breathing? Do you know what chemicals are placed in the water you drink? Would you like to combat these intrusions? I'm not just talking toxins. I'm talking about chemicals that are harmful. Maybe now you understand why you feel tired so much. Change your life with Life Change Tea. Cleanse from toxins and chemicals and lose weight. Receive energy. There is no better investment than your body. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Friendly operators will take your order and answer your questions. Be set free and live better. GetTheTea.com.
This is Jerry Pierce, the radio detective. Have you heard of the Millionaire Patriot? Well, you should. He has a free handgun and 5 days of firearm training waiting for you. That's right. You can attend 5 days of world-class gun training at Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and secure a 30-state concealed weapons permit, all for pennies on the dollar. Plus, if you act fast, the Millionaire Patriot will give you a free Springfield Armory XD pistol in the caliber of your choice. Now is the time you and your family need to be armed and trained to levels that exceed law enforcement and military standards. Front Sight provides such training without any boot camp mentality or drill instructor attitudes, and the Millionaire Patriot's paying his own money to help you get it. This is real. Thousands have already taken advantage of it, and you should too. Don't miss out. Secure a Front Sight defensive handgun course plus 30-state concealed weapons permit for pennies on the dollar. And get your free handgun. Go to frontsight.com today. That's FrontSight.com. Go to frontsight.com for your training and free gun.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQUAAqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
When you're flying the friendly skies this Thanksgiving, and a lot of us are doing that, now we're a little concerned about the pilots. A lot of things have happened, like what happened with the Northwest plane that missed Minneapolis because the pilots were supposedly looking at their schedule, etc. Our next guest here on America Tonight is somebody who loved to fly since the time he was a young lad, just 7 years old, and he got that chance, became a flight engineer, and was in the skies flying drunk. He and the first officer on the flight shared six pitchers of beer. Remember this story? And then there they were flying a Boeing 727. He's got a book out called Flying Drunk that takes you through the steps and what happened, etc., and then a little bit about, obviously, the airlines and what drove them to that position. Joe is being ushered in from our green room as we speak. So without further ado, Joe Balzer joins us now on the show. Joe, thanks for hanging with us. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Explain what happened. Let's rewind the clock a little bit. This happened in what? It happened in 1990, right?
Yeah, it happened in March of 1990, basically.
And you and I, as I said, you and the first officer were together. So take us through the steps of what you guys were thinking and drinking the beer and all that stuff.
Well, actually, the entire crew, as far as pilots, were out that evening drinking and basically had too much to drink. There were issues going on for 5 days in the airplane, and we wanted to invite the captain out to have some dinner, and basically that whole plan backfired because remember when the captain came up to the table, he said he wanted to run a tab a mile long. That should have been a big red flag there. I had issues as well. Grew up with an alcoholic father. I got loaded the first time I was 3 years old with my great-grandfather, and I thought everybody drank the way people in my family drank. I didn't start really drinking as far as a drinking career went until I was in college, and I think a lot of people can relate to that. Difference is I set out to drink like everybody else, and I started having blackouts within a few weeks of my first drink. Mm-hmm. Prior to the Northwest incident, I tried to quit drinking on my own because I had a blackout out in California. for the listeners that don't really know what a blackout is, it doesn't mean you're passed out. It means you're functioning, but you can't remember the next day what happened. This is basically alcohol-induced amnesia. It's very indicative of stage one alcoholism, and this is what happens when sometimes I could drink a few drinks and be just fine, and there'd be other times when I wouldn't know how much I had to drink. Now, under pressure and 5 days of a lot of aggravation and failed attempts of seeking approval from an individual who wasn't capable of giving me that approval, basically the same setup I had in my family with my drinking parent, I was destined to fail. And I set out a year before the incident to try to quit drinking on my own. But I didn't have a 12-step program. I didn't have the wisdom of other people in a 12-step program who'd been down the path of recovery and who had learned how to let other people in their lives. And I failed miserably on my own. So there I was. That night before a flight, I had too much to drink. There were things that happened in the bar, which I do explain in the book. The first officer and I went back to the hotel. The captain, who was already being quite obnoxious I explain all that in the book, but basically stayed much, much later into the early morning, got up from the table, fell down, knocked over 5 chairs, cut his head open, left the bar, couldn't find the hotel, came back in the bar and announced to the people he'd been drinking with that he had to fly in a few hours, about 4 to be semi-close. They were concerned because they'd observed all of us having too much to drink. And they called the FA hotline.
Yeah, and when they called the hotline, you know, there you were flying this Boeing 727. You had 91 passengers. I don't have to relive it with you. You certainly know, but for everybody listening to us, they don't remember this story. And it was one of those hops. You were going from Fargo, North Dakota to Minneapolis. You arrived and there wasn't any kind of an incident. Were you surprised when the FAA was there when you guys arrived? Were you surprised that had happened? Because did you think, whew, that was a close call, but we made it, we're safe, not expecting to face those charges, et cetera?
No, actually, the FAA was there. This is a very interesting part of the story. The FAA was actually there before the flight left Fargo. They had a safety inspector out at the airport. This was a professional pilot law enforcement type with the FAA. I say law enforcement, you know, it's more like regulations with the Federal Aviation Administration, but he's in a position to stop the flight. He had a meeting with the captain. He had a meeting with the first officer, and he had a meeting with me. He said in federal court that he told the captain that he wanted to have a meeting with the crew before we left. The captain did not share that information with me or the first officer. When he came to me and said he had a report about one of the pilots being out into the early morning hours, I explained to him that I felt that was a very good reason to be blood alcohol tested, and I wanted that to happen. I told him, blood, breath, or urine, sir, whatever's convenient for you. Fortunately for me, a third party had witnessed that conversation. And also, the federal inspector went back to his office and made written statements that there were no signs of inebriation or intoxication. Therefore, there was no reason to prevent the flight from leaving. So with that, you know, in mind, he handed me my licenses back, and I got back on the airplane. I really didn't want to get on the flight, but I figured if I'd been cleared by a federal safety inspector, I knew what the captain was going to say, and he said, finish your pre-flight, let's, you know, basically we're getting out of here, and that's what happened. Not a good situation to be in. With the clarity that I have today as someone who's been sober for 19-plus years, I had no business getting on that airplane that morning. So there it is in a nutshell.
Wow, 19 years sober. Congratulations on that. You know, it's interesting, that, and you know this, Joe, at the time when you were flying, they did have a treatment program. They did have something that they had done in the 70s to help pilots, that if there were pilots or others in the cockpit who had problems with drinking, that you could have come forward, you could have gotten treatment, you can keep your job is basically what the Airline Pilots Association had done. and you can go to rehab, which might be whatever, 6 months, a year, and then you could be cleared for flying. Were you aware of that program at all when you were struggling with this?
Actually, what I was aware of was I met a captain at Eastern Airlines, and I talk about this in the book. I call him Captain Al, and I noticed his tie tack had the circle and the triangle in it, and I asked him what that was, and he explained it to me about the program of recovery. We went out and had dinner, and what transpired from that was that we did an intervention on my father. My father's been sober ever since. And my sister also ended up going to recovery, but I could see it in others, but I couldn't see it in myself. And the reason being is I thought you had to drink every day to be an alcoholic. That's a myth. I thought you had to drink hard liquor to be an alcoholic. That's a myth. I thought you had to be getting into all kinds of trouble at work and having DWIs to be an alcoholic, and that's a myth. So I didn't fit any of those what we call alcoholic molds. And just the fact that it's such a shameful thing, unfortunately, to be an alcoholic, I wasn't about to be one of those people. And there was so much shame attached to it that I resisted that wanting to get help. And I didn't think that I was an alcoholic. So after the incident and after the, failing, because I did have that blackout out there in California, really didn't want to drink anymore. Here I was drinking again, getting into all kinds of trouble, losing my career, facing prison, which ultimately I ended up going to prison. The good news was before I went to prison, I got into group therapy with a man who was an addictions counselor for the state of Tennessee. I got into all adult children of alcoholics meetings for people who had a parent who was an alcoholic. And I learned that, many of my behaviors were similar to that of a 14-year-old. And that my growth was stalled at some point in my childhood. And also, I learned to do things all on my own. There's some good things about that survival skills, but there's a lot of really negatives that come with that. In other words, if someone's trying to help me, I'm going to give them a stiff arm because I'm so used to doing it on my own, which is the way children who have alcoholic parents, tend to grow up.
Right, exactly. Well, I think it's the book is great, how you chronicle a lot more. You chronicle about your love for flight and what happened and moving up the ranks, and it's just a terrific read. And congratulations to you for being sober for all those years and weathering the storm. Flying Drunk, Joe Balzer. Joe, good luck, and thanks for joining us on America Tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. Y'all have a wonderful evening.
An A to Z product listing, top 20 bestsellers, and 30% off monthly specials. That's just a few of the many reasons why vitamin, mineral, and herbal supplement shoppers visit RippleCreek.com every day. Listen.
I'm a customer of RippleCreek.com and find it to be one of the best companies of its kind in product, customer service, and speed of delivery, and your prices are great.
RippleCreek.com has the full range of discount vitamins, minerals, and herbal supplements in an easy-to-use A to Z listing. Find everything from amino acids to grapeseed plus to our special colloidal minerals formula with over 99 trace minerals. Yes for Women, fun intimacy enhancement cream to zinc. Not sure what your body needs? Click our handy vitamin guide at RippleCreek.com. Choose the low-cost online vitamin store where the internet has shopped since 1996, RippleCreek.com. Type in radio ad, and on orders over $40 this month, get a free bottle of our Grape Seed Plus product while supplies last. Hurry to RippleCreek.com today. That's RippleCreek.com.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
For the past year, you've heard about GardenInACan.com right here on GCN. GardenInACan.com is your source for premium non-hybrid and non-genetically modified seeds. Each order includes 16 carefully selected varieties made specifically for both spring and fall, giving you an extended growing season. You'll receive approximately 18,000 seeds, giving you the ability to plant a crisis garden of up to two-thirds of an acre. Every order is hermetically sealed to lock in freshness and sealed again in a large metal can for the ultimate protection, giving you a shelf life of up to 10 years. For a limited time, while supplies last, GardenInACan.com is having a sale. Order your garden in a can for only $49.95. That's right, $49.95. If you have a preparedness plan and it does not include long-term storable garden seeds, this is the best time to acquire your seeds. Take advantage of this great offer and order now. Visit gardeninacan.com. That's gardeninacan.com.
I have owned every light you can think of, and my pack light is the one I refuse to leave home without.
That's what Jerry from Oregon said.
Your flashlights are the best. We bought some 3 years ago, and all three pack lights have gone through two hurricanes each, and they just keep going on and on.
And that's what Albert in Florida said about the amazing pack light. Pack light's multicolored caps come equipped with two high-powered LED lights, snap on to any 9-volt battery, and will last over 1,200 hours. Listen to what Jerry from Michigan said.
After carrying a pack light in my pants pocket for 2 years, it was bound to happen. The pants and the light went through the wash together, and it still works.
The pack light has a 25-year warranty, starts at just $12.99, and is an excellent gift idea. Order yours today at 9voltlight.com or call toll-free 877-715-4448. Use coupon code RADIO and receive free shipping. Be prepared with a pack light. Remember, 9voltlight.com or call 877-715-4448. 877-715-4448.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for IxQuick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the 1 week Start Page Challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to startpage.com instead. Try 7 days of Start Page and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try startpage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's startpage.com.
All right, so we just talked to Joe Balzer, who in 1990 flew drunk, did some jail time. You heard him talking about being sober for 19 years. But, of course, how odd that incident was, and the fact that they got on the plane, they were safe. It was a hop, basically. But meaning once the plane landed, everybody had gotten there safely, but they paid the price, certainly. And now look where we've come in aviation. You know what? It's still a mess. There are still things happening in the cockpit that we cannot believe, right? Is there too much pressure on the pilots? We're talking about should the pilots be able to take naps after what happened with that other Northwest plane where they, a couple of weeks ago, or actually now it's been a month, where they overshot the runway by 150 miles because they were worried about this new thing, supposedly, with scheduling. So they had their laptops up, of course, and they were working on that. And that nobody seemed to notice that they were not landing. Whoops, we missed Minneapolis. What happened there? People are still talking about that, and they're still looking into it, still investigating it. All right, it was also called, I thought I'd throw this in here, it was called the worst product launch decision since New Coke. You know what is the worst product launch? Has nothing to do with sodas. Has to do with planes. The A380. Remember this? They were talking about bigger, badder, better, getting you there in more style and comfort because people will pay more money. The A380 was delayed in construction, and it was supposed to be rolled out in 2000. Of course, we saw what happened with the economy, 9/11, etc. So the A380 now, of course, has been released. And the Air France actually ordered about a dozen of them back in 2000. But because of all those things in between and the industry basically being crippled with the big spending bankers and all that sort of stuff, it was iced temporarily. So now, and you think now with airlines, they go point to point and they actually don't go to some of those hubs that they've gone to in the past. So would an 800 passenger mega jet be necessary? Well, guess what happened? And supposedly it's incredible. It's like the Lexus of flight or something. So the Air France Flight 380 lasted, seconds, basically, it seemed like. The inaugural flight was a little longer than that. From New York City to Paris, it took off, right? And I read a description from a writer who happened to be on one of those original flights and said that it was incredibly calm and quiet. There was no engine noise. It's 50% quieter than a 747 takeoff. It almost like scares you. But it's so big, you don't even feel that speed. You don't really sense it, I guess. And inside with all that room, 800 people. That's incredible. The crowd, I guess, in first is about 500 some. And then you have business and coach. So France's carrier got the debut. And people were pretty excited about it. JFK at the airport, they were packed. People were ready to party on the flight. There were a lot of journalists and airline junkie types and all that other sort of stuff. In the upper deck of the plane, in the business section, they have an art gallery. They have flat screen TVs. Mm-hmm. They have digital previews, or they did on this flight, of what you could see in New York and in Paris. You've got much more room, obviously, and the video screens are wider. They've got about 3,000 hours of programming, so you're just watching. You're not squeezed. Your knees aren't up to your chest when somebody reclines their seat, even if it's a coach seat. And, of course, the business class, just a full everything. You know, menus from a 3-star chef and really playing up the fact that you're not in coach. But what do these tickets cost? What do these tickets cost to fly that way? A pretty penny, supposedly, unless you know somebody and you're getting a free flight. I wonder if this will be as much as it costs, because the price for just one of these 380s was an incredible price tag, like $300 million. A ridiculous amount of money spent on the flights, at least France spent on getting those, a dozen of those back, like I said, in 2000. So I wonder what kind of growth, if any, they would see on it. I would actually think it would kind of be a bust, unless, there are certain people who want to fly in comfort and have the money to pay for that kind of ticket. I think pretty much, though, overall, you're not going to get the kind of traffic you might have been able to get a couple of decades ago, because there's other options. There are more places where you can just skip a hub, so it's easier to get, a transatlantic, etc., than it was in the past. So I'm going to say might be rough. Could cost that airline a chunk of money in the end if they don't sell a whole bunch of tickets. All right, the show is America Tonight, and as usual, we veer all over the place. If you've listened to us in the past, that's exactly what we do here in America Tonight. Don't forget, you can send us your thoughts anytime, americatonight.net. Got a couple of things to preview with you before we jump into healthcare again. One, don't forget, tomorrow we're doing our biggest turkeys of 2009. Do you believe it? Because the year, of course, is winding down, and Thanksgiving is kind of like that stretch drive time where you've got, 5 weeks before the end of the year. So we're going to start talking about the biggest turkeys and, kind of goes along with Thanksgiving Day. Plus, we have Nail the Score. So instead of on Thursday, we have Nail the Score for this week on Tuesday. And the 6 people who come the closest, we never do this, are going to get a Dave Pell's book. It's incredible. It's called Damage Control. And everybody who's participated in Nail the Score will be entered in a drawing at the end of the year, not for the grand prize, because the grand prize, somebody has to nail the score to win it, but for something pretty cool, a golf school for a day, which is worth like $500 a Dave Pell school. If you don't golf, you could give it to somebody else, plus a pitching wedge, and 24 golf balls, and of course you would get a copy of the book. Altogether, by my accounts on the open market, I think it would cost you about $1,000 for all that stuff, or just a little bit under it. It's pretty exciting. So that's Nail the Score coming up on our next show. Don't miss it. Healthcare, how can you miss it? Because it's on top of everybody's mind. It's, you know, it's right there. Besides, I think the big things, you know, it's obvious. We talk about them all the time in America Tonight. Healthcare affects every single one of us. Afghanistan infuriates every single one of us. Because whether you have people serving there, whether you've served there, whether you've served at all, you're concerned. You're concerned about the direction that the administration is taking and the lack of what the strategy is, no matter what your take is on it, right? And naturally, because of what happened at Fort Hood, now the concern is what's going to happen to Major Hassan. The insanity defense enrages me, but it's the obvious one for his attorney to take. And if he can do it, I think he'll take that route, absolutely, because they'll claim it was his mental state that led him to it, when all of us are concerned about terrorist ties and sending money to groups in overseas that are fronts for Islamic jihadists, basically. The rhetoric that he was spewing when he was cutting down all those people who had no way to defend themselves because they weren't armed. And by the time anybody arrived on the scene, he had just literally opened fire and on everybody in sight. And now, and it's being pieced together through the investigation, but now there are whispers that there was no question what Major Hassan was doing anyway, because there were lots of civilians around, and the civilians he didn't aim at. He didn't shoot at the civilians. It was just the people in uniform that he went after. So besides that, obviously, and what's happening with the economy, too many people unemployed, we're very, very concerned, obviously, about healthcare. And to me, from everything that I can see, I just do not see it passing in the Senate. No way, no how, because you cannot appease all those masters. And the Republicans are not going to budge. Here are some of the reasons why. Let's rehash this with Senator Tom Barrasso. He's a Republican from Wyoming. Caught him today on one of the cable shows, and he made a lot of sense to me, first on what it passed and what needs to be done. Here's what he said.
He does not right now, and with good reason. This is a bill that's going to have higher insurance premiums for people that have insurance. It's going to increase taxes on all Americans. It's going to put $500 billion of cuts for our seniors who depend on Medicare. And your last story just talked about the economy, and they said it's all about the spending. That's exactly right, and 8 out of 10 Americans do not believe that the president's going to be able to keep his word when he said that this health insurance reform won't add to the deficit. This will add to the deficit. It's going to make the matters worse. Well, we need to make sure that we do have health care reform, but meaningful reform that will help the families in America, and those are people that already have insurance. 85% of the people have coverage they like. They just think it's too expensive, and they are right. It is too expensive. This should be designed to get costs down. You can do that simply by letting people buy health insurance across state lines. We know from the University of Minnesota study 12 million more Americans would have insurance today if they could buy health insurance across state lines. We need to do individual incentives for people to stay healthy. That'll get down the cost of the care. There's nothing in the bills about that. And then we need to deal with a junk lawsuit, something like loser pays. That has been completely left out of these bills. So those are things that could do major differences in terms of the cost of care today.
All right, it's interesting. On the heels of what the senator has to say, a new poll out, the Rasmussen poll, says just 38% of voters favor the health care plan proposed by the president and the Democrats. That is the lowest level so far since it's been tracked in June. The latest telephone survey finds that 56% now actually oppose the plan. Those are very, very bleak numbers. We're talking turkey with Donovan Madsen, our technical director here on America Tonight, round the bend.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Healthy Hearts Club presents Heart and Body Extract. Supports clean, clear arteries, healthy blood pressure levels, healthy circulation and blood flow, regular heart rate and beat. What if you could avoid heart attacks? What if you could avoid emergency room visits? What if you could avoid surgery? How? With this Heart and Body Extract. 100% organic. No negative side effects. Guaranteed to work or your money back. Call now. 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Or order online at heartandbody.com. Take the high road to a long and healthy life. 866-295-5305 or heartandbody.com.
The turkey sound means that Donovan is the first batter up to do this. Tomorrow we're doing it with all of you. We're talking about the biggest turkeys in 2009. And it could really be anything from the entertainment world, business, etc. Anything at all that you think was pretty much labeled or should be labeled as a turkey would certainly be up for grabs here on the show, and then we'll vote on the best ones. So let's see what Donovan has to offer. Mr. Donovan, I know that you're thinking long and hard about this. Who are your turkeys for 2009?
Well, my first one here is, quite honestly, Orly Tates and the entire birther movement. In my personal opinion, the evidence is stacked so strongly against them that I think it's just ridiculous to carry on with the endeavor at this point.
Well, Orly Tate is a good one because here's the problem with her. If there was anything to it, I think I had this last night when Mark from New York called in. She's killing it because every time she comes up with a birth certificate to try to pursue it, it's a phony one. It's a forged one. Well, that's no good. Where, you know, we have the birth certificate. It's a Kenyan birth certificate. And then the one time it turned out to be a birth certificate from Australia where they just changed some of the things around, but even didn't change things enough that it was easy to trace back to Australia, and it was a dummy. It was forged.
Exactly, and some of these are really bad forgeries.
Yes.
Which minimal investigation should be able to turn out as forgeries or hoaxes, you know, within an hour.
Right, so Orly Tate's, I agree. If there was any validity to it, she's hurting it big time, absolutely. So what are your other two?
My other one is more locally grown. We've got Michelle Bachmann, a representative to the U.S. House from Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
I just don't like her because I have never seen her able to actually engage in a dialogue with anyone, especially anyone who disagrees with her. It's just, you know, overwhelming trying to force her views onto anybody who disagrees with her, and she just doesn't listen, and I've never been a fan of her, and the fact that she's getting more and more national attention for just kind of being out and on a limb in the what I consider kind of the lunatic fringe of the Republican Party, kind of actually honestly embarrassing.
Okay, I would agree with you on that one. I think she kills the GOP, and that's why they try to not say too much about Michelle Bachmann. You know, when somebody from the far left, whether it's Keith Olbermann or whoever, it's such a layup to point out the nonsense, as you said, that when she's all over the map and isn't coherent and the dialogue's not there, it's just too easy to rip on her. So she's become a favorite punching bag, and she hurts the Republicans. I agree.
And, of course, my last is, you know, the guy we all love to critique, President Obama. You know, we don't talk about my politics much on this show, but I'm kind of a leftist. I voted for Obama not believing the hype, but just because he seemed the best choice to me. But I really, really wanted him to end the conflicts in both Iraq and Afghanistan pretty much as soon as possible. And I think he's been dragging his feet on that a lot, and I'm not really very happy with that.
And you know what? It's funny you say that that you're a leftist, and he has disappointed so many people who voted for different reasons, whether it was to end the war or to do some of the other things that he said he was going to do along the campaign trail. And he has disappointed so many people. It's very dangerous in the independent category. Because, Donovan, as you know, many independents voted for Barack Obama. They're playing for another four because that's what all politicians do, particularly when you get your hands on the presidency. We just had a Republican who had it for eight, and then we had a Democrat before that who had it for eight. I don't know about this time around because Obama is not winning over even the people who voted for him, not happy with some of the things that have happened, and you just proved that point. So, all right, we got them locked and loaded. For a second, you scared me. I thought you were just going to bag on all women.
No, I'm trying not to do that.
But bravo. Give yourself a round of applause. They were well thought out. That's part of the whole turkey thing. He thought about it. He really picked them out and for reasons that he named. Very good. Oh, Donovan, you're going to make a tough guy to follow for everybody else in our next America Tonight when people are calling in with their biggest turkeys. So well done. Very well done. You know, speaking of Obama, Obama has a couple of problems. Afghanistan, obviously, one of them. Healthcare, we know the other, because that was another promise and another reason why a lot of people voted for Obama. And just the idea of the whole promise thing, and that's part of the deal. And then there's a slew of other things like the economy, the economy, the economy. And what's happening with the deficit, the more we keep pushing ourselves in this corner where we're adding up, clicking up more and more debt, the scarier I think it gets. I just don't understand where we're going to get this money. And that's my problem with healthcare. If you say to somebody, wow, everybody can have healthcare, wouldn't that be great? But the problem is exactly what we played for you a little while ago, Senator Barrasso says, is that, you know, these numbers are funky. They're not going to pan out. It's not going to pan out in that decade. And what's going to happen is the people who can least afford it are going to have to dig into their pockets and pay more. And I don't like the idea of the tax if you don't get the insurance either, because I think that ends up hurting people in the long run. I do like the idea of more competition, but then this is going up against the insurance companies, and I think erasing the state lines is truly the answer. And, of course, medical malpractice is so out of control. Should you be able to sue a doctor when they screw you up and it's an obvious botched deal and, you know, you have the x-rays and the attorney and all that stuff lined up and you can prove it? Absolutely. But there are also bogus things that are happening that are pushing people out of the biz who are good at what they do. And it's gonna cripple the nation even more, because ultimately, guess who pays for that? We pay for it in the premiums. And the premiums are gonna go higher. It's the more affordable insurance. So many of the people that got up at the town hall meetings who wanted to know about what would the cost be, there were a couple of people in almost every crowd that were sensible people, probably weren't extremists of either direction. I saw a lot of this. I saw a lot in Pennsylvania and in Arizona and some other places where several times it was a mother or a guy got up or whoever got up, and they just said they wanted affordable insurance. Hey, listen, I don't have insurance now because I can't afford it. I want affordable insurance. I'm saying I can pay for it if it's affordable. And I think that's what people want in America, something that makes sense, that isn't going to kill their job because their employers close up because they can't afford it, or they don't want to get fined because they don't have insurance. So there is a sensible answer to this, and there's a way to try to make it fiscally make sense and then emotionally make sense. But the two are clashing, and the Senate, for my money, is there's just no way. They're not going to get that 60. I think that's an impossible number from everything that we've heard, so we're probably not going to have to sweat it out in the end. It could become the priority, but it makes sense to really do this thing right. You wait for, you know, it's crazy. It's like a rush job. You wait for 60 years, and it's just talked about here and there. It fails, then it goes away again, then somebody else brings it up again, and then it's conversation. So what about real serious business? What about making it the top priority and trying to get some bipartisan work done? That would be the smart way to go, not try to ram it through with all kinds of red flags over the Senate version and the House version, which are too long, and none of the senators and none of the Congress people have been able to go through every single tenet on healthcare. There's just no way you can read all that in a short amount of time before you have to make an intelligent vote, or a vote wisely, know exactly what it is that you're voting on. That's part of the problem, right? All right, don't forget about Tuesday. I'm going to remind everybody again, because we have cool prizes. If you call in for Nail the Score, and six of you are close to nailing the score, you will all win a Dave Pell's book. How about that? Mm-hmm. Gotta love that. And if you nail the score, of course, you win the prize pack, which includes a cell phone, movie tickets, also several gift certificates to eateries around the country. So a whole lot of reasons to hang around for Nail the Score. Special edition Tuesday, third hour. Be there.